We come in our scripture reading to the end of the book of Romans. We'll do the last section beginning at verse 17 of Romans chapter 16. You'll find this in your pew Bible on page number 1209. Paul is wrapping up his greetings and he has final instructions, and it's actually a fascinating passage that gives us a wonderful snapshot of the life of the early church. If you look at verse 21, he gives greetings, as he often does, from Timothy. That's his main assistant and protege, together with Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. He says they're my kinsmen. That means they're Jews. Now, Timothy's father was a Greek. His mother was Jewish. These men, he was a leader, of course, in the churches. Jason is probably the Jason of the Thessalonican church. Sosipater is likely to be the leader of the church in Berea. There's a gathering of the regional church leaders going on in Corinth. And it's in the context of Paul concluding his letter to the Romans. Very interesting. But then he adds in verse 23, Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Now, Gaius would be a Corinthian Gentile. He's very likely a wealthy man. He has a house large enough to have the whole church there. In fact, we know he has at least four slaves. How do we know that? Because Tertius and Quartus are among them. They numbered their slaves. And so if you were the top-ranking slave, you were primus. Number two was secondus. Number three was Tertius. Number four was Quartus. Well, he's got at least four slaves because we read our brother Quartus greets you. So you have a rich Gentile. There's a high public official, Erastus, the city treasurer. It turns out that archaeologists have found an inscription of Erastus, the city treasurer, from the first century in Corinth, who had dedicated a street and sidewalk. It's a pretty high government official in one of the largest cities of the ancient world. But then you have two slaves. My favorite, verse 22. You can see Paul's looking around the room to see if he leaves anybody out, and he forgets his scribe. And so he's going to write himself into the letter. I, Tertius, the number three slave, had apparently been lent to Paul to be the scribe to write the book of Romans. And he says, I greet you in the Lord. And then you have Quartus, our brother. Now that statement's wonderful. Quartus is the lowest ranking that we know of, slave in the house of Gaius, but he's their brother. What a wonderful picture of the life of the church. You have Jews and Gentiles. You have rich and poor. You have the city governing officials together with slaves and their brothers. And they're working in the Lord. It reminds us of the kind of church we are to be. I love Tertius actually writes, he who wrote this letter in the Lord greets you. In the Lord could be used either way. But he knows that his work is significant. Every Christian's gifts are for the Lord. They all matter. All kinds of we wouldn't be together if it weren't for Christ. There'd be all kinds of human barriers, but Christ brings us together. That's the way it's to be in the church. Well, no wonder that Paul makes his last appeal against divisions in the church. Verse 17, watch out for those who cause divisions and can't create obstacles. And notice it's doctrinal division, contrary to the doctrine you've been taught. His big concern is false teaching and division based on wrong doctrine. You know, it's almost the last thing people think of today when they're joining an evangelical church. What are the activities? What kind of people are there? What's the music? Is it the style that we like? Almost the last thing people think of is the accuracy, the faithfulness of the doctrine that's being taught. Paul makes it the first thing. He says, avoid them. In verse 18, he says they don't serve Christ but their own appetites. What does he mean? Imagine a scenario where people basically treat church as a business. They operate it by their own selves. There's no doctrinal accountability, and they build themselves up by having mass churches. It's called the evangelical movement of our time. And Paul says, avoid that kind of thing. Be in a true church where the word is taught. And then he has two benedictions. It's his third and fourth benedictions in Romans. My favorite is the third benediction in verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We've been studying Genesis. Paul's been studying Genesis 2, and he's going to take the story at the beginning. He's going to wrap up history. And then you have the great benediction at the end, the doxology, really focusing on God's gift of faith. Romans has been about salvation through faith, and Paul praises God, the all-wise God, who gives the obedience of faith. Well, with all that having been said, let's Give ear now to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jasus and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen indeed.